Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of SAMHI Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jakhanwala, MD and CEO of SAMHI Hotels Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking out time today. With me, I have Gyana Das, who is the Executive Vice President and Head of Investments, Rajat Mehra, who's Chief Financial Officer, Nakul, who's Vice President of Investments, and also our Investor Relations Advisors, Strategic Growth Advisors. We have uploaded our result presentation on the exchanges, and I hope everybody had an opportunity to go through the same. To begin with, I will request Rajat to give us a summary of financial performance, after which I will give you a small brief on business and then open the floor for Q&A. Rajat, over to you.
Good afternoon. Our asset income for Q4 FY24 increased by 35% year-on-year from INR 208 crores to INR 281 crores. Occupancy remained healthy at 76%, with the majority of RevPAR growth being driven by rates. EBITDA for Q4 FY24, prior to changes with respect to ESOP, was 108 crores, a healthy increase of 36% over the same period last year, and representing a margin of 37%. This included a one-time cost in corporate G&A relating to the ACIC integration. On a full-year basis, our asset income increased from INR 750 crores in FY23 to INR 963 crores in FY24, representing an increase of 28%. EBITDA, prior to ESOP, for the full year increased from INR 263 crores in FY23 to INR 348 crores in FY24, representing an increase of 32%. With strong operational performance and continuous reduction in finance cost, I'm happy to inform you that the company has reported positive PAT of INR 11 crores for the quarter. However, if we were to include ACIC performance for that period that is not consolidated in our financial statements that we report as pro forma, we have reached a strategic milestone of revenue crossing INR 1,000 crores and EBITDA pre-ESOP at INR 368 crores, which provides the company a solid base for future growth in FY25 and beyond. Our net debt stands at INR 1,824 crores, which is about 4.9 times EBITDA for a full-year period on a pro forma basis. Given strong performance and reduced leverage, we have been able to reduce our cost of debt from 13% pre-IPO to about 9.8% and have further room for reduction in coming quarters. In the second half of financial year 2024, post-IPO, the business produced about 100 crores of incremental free cash post-debt servicing. Our total cash balance is about 260 crores and growing each quarter with free cash from the business. This gives us tremendous flexibility to achieve both our goals, that is, growth as well as further reduction of debt. I will now request Ashish to take us through market and business updates.
Thanks, Rajat. So I will start by reiterating that the pro forma performance for FY25, which, as Rajat clarified, included ACIC performance for the non-consolidated period, it actually truly reflects the potential for SAMHI. So we actually start FY25 with a portfolio which has delivered 1,000 crores of revenue and an EBITDA of about 320 crores. And we have gotten the business to deliver profits in the last quarter. So how do we use this base to grow? I will focus on three areas. First is market performance and our ability to leverage that. Second is operational performance of the business and opportunities therein. And the last bit is about the opportunity, ability, and the direction to grow SAMHI. On market performance, the macro environment remains very promising, and I'm very pleased with the efforts my team has put in creating a large portfolio in some of the strongest performing markets across India. Hyderabad, Bangalore, Pune, and NCR are the top markets in India for aviation growth over the past decade and also bases the size of the office space per hotel room. These would also be the top four markets for SAMHI in terms of revenue and contribute about 70% of our total revenue in the last year. These locations and also the strong brand partnerships that we have will continue to drive our hotels to capitalize on a very strong market opportunity. Given our locations across all key office markets other than Mumbai and across price points, we remain very well positioned to capitalize on India's growth story. Our overall portfolio RevPAR growth was 17% year-on-year, and each of the segments we operate in have delivered good RevPAR growth, though with some variance. Our upper-upscale segment, which represents about 43% of our total revenue, leads the pack and delivered a 22% RevPAR growth for the entire year. Given these hotels are located in key markets for Bangalore, Hyderabad, Pune and Gurgaon, we see RevPAR growth in these hotels at a higher pace than for comparable upscale, upper upscale hotels in other markets. In terms of operational performance, we see tremendous value to be unlocked in our operating margins during FY25. For the last reported quarter, this is quarter four, we reported an EBITDA margin of about 33%. This was basis an asset level EBITDA of 41%, a further 3% expense for corporate G&A, and an additional 4% cost towards ESOP. This breakup is important because we see material reduction in ESOP expenses during FY25. Corporate G&A, which saw an increase in FY25, will also see material reduction during FY25 and will reverse to FY23 numbers, if not below, as ACIC corporate team integration is now completed. ACIC portfolio that you know we acquired in August and had reported a 30% EBITDA margin for the period prior to acquisition has already reached 37.5% EBITDA in the second half and almost touching 39% in the last quarter. Therefore, we see a margin expand by about 5 percentage points in FY25, even if we take the same revenue levels. And again, there will be some quarterly variations, but overall for the entire year, we feel fairly confident that that's an inherent embedded advantage for our P&L. The last bit is about opportunity and ability to grow. And first, I will take up some low-hanging fruits. So we are ready to open about 300 new rooms in the next few months. This includes the first hotel in Calcutta, rebranding of a hotel in Greater Noida, an additional 54 rooms to our existing Holiday Inn Express hotel in Bangalore. Since this inventory will be open by beginning of quarter two, we expect this inventory to benefit from a relatively stronger H2 during FY25. We are also in the planning stages to renovate and rebrand two of our other large hotels, and this will further help us drive their performance. We now have a strong visibility of free cash from business. If I take the last 6 months' run rate of 100 crores free cash, we expect to accumulate a minimum of 450 crores of cash in the next 2 years, adding to about 260 crores of cash we hold with us today. We will use this to pay down our debt, renovate our existing hotels, but in addition to that, we are evaluating certain opportunities to continue to grow SAMHI's portfolio. These follow our cardinal rules. Stick to core markets, do not take the development risk, and maintain a discount to replacement costs. Thank you for your time, and we will now take questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We'll take a first question from the line of Karan Khanna from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congrats team on first quarter of operational turnaround. Firstly, just a clarification, in the investor presentation, you have mentioned about 225 to 50 crores of free cash flows in FY25. Could you confirm if the same is after reducing around 200 crores of interest payment? So if you could just confirm that.
That's right, Karan.
Yeah. So resultantly, Ashish, what kind of debt reduction do you foresee by end of FY25 and starting which quarter do you really start seeing an inflection point in terms of free cash flows translating into debt reduction for the business?
So Karan, if you see, since just after IPO, our net debt to EBITDA has been falling every quarter. We have stated an objective to get to about 3.5 times net debt to EBITDA by end of FY 2025. And I think given the accumulation of the free cash in the business, we feel reasonably confident about achieving that target. So that's our stated target, that we should get to about 3.5 times net debt to EBITDA by end of FY 2025. Now, if you're asking me to give a definitive numerical number on debt as of end of FY 2025, I'll reserve to say that, because we're also seeing some incremental EBITDA opportunities, both from the hotels we are ready to open and also potentially from some of the growth opportunities that we are pursuing right now.
Sure. And that's fair. So second question, Ashish, you know, while I look at your exit RevPAR growth, which has been around mid-teens, do you believe you can sustain this or perhaps a low-teens sort of a RevPAR growth in FY 2025 and 2026 as well, given going by the results you've seen with for other listed overall industry? I think the RevPAR growth has seen some moderation in potentially the fourth quarter of last year. So how should we read that, and even in April?
So Karan, you know, quarter-on-quarter RevPAR growth sometimes tend to be a little misleading. If you look at the full-year RevPAR growth for most of the players, at least the ones who reported, we've seen that to be in the mid-teen ranges. When we look at the growth in demand coming in the key markets, and we extrapolate that against these very well-known supply growth, there is no reason to believe that the industry cannot sustain, you know, as you rightly said, you know, an early teen to a mid-teen RevPAR growth. You know, we've always said that we will be happy if the markets that we are in can operate anywhere between high single-digit to early double-digit RevPAR growth, because there is operating leverage that results in pretty good EBITDA growth.
Sure. And thirdly, Ashish, I think last quarter, obviously, we've seen some issues with the Navi Mumbai acquisition. So any update on the Navi Mumbai land issue at this point, or it's still under litigation?
So it is still sub judice. The courts are closed. You know, we will not comment on anything which is sub judice, but we continue to believe that we have both a strong case and also very strong merits to undertake the development. We have communicated that to the authorities. We still expect a favorable response and outcome. But as I said, because the matter is sub judice, I would not comment beyond that.
Sure. And lastly, if I look at the fourth quarter, other expenses have increased almost 16% Q-on-Q versus 4% growth in revenue. So what explains the delta of around 17 crores this quarter? Is there any one-offs there, or is it just normal business?
No, that actually includes a one-off. So as you know, we acquired ACIC in August of 2023. We had indicated an integration of that business with ours. An integration happens at two levels, one at the corporate level and then obviously at the hotel level. At the hotel level, the integration is going very well. You've seen the margins expand. We have taken a one-time cost of about 4.5 crores in quarter four on account of completing the integration of the corporate team. So Karan, that's one-off and non-repeatable.
Great. Thank you, Ashish, and all the best, team.
Thank you, Karan.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, would like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yash from Stallion Asset. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand what would be your interest cost in depreciation for FY 25?
See, with the current pricing that we have reached to a 9.8 and further reduction, we are expecting our interest cost to be in the range of about 200 crores for next year, and our guidance for depreciation about 130 odd crores.
Right. So I was just trying to understand more in terms of, you know, I mean, how confident are you on a use delta or PAT for FY25? Or you think given the sort of or you think that the growth will more sort of come from increased level of RevPAR, or I'm just trying to understand, you know, what makes you confident that, you know, we'll sustain profitability going ahead this year?
So I think there are a couple of pivots to maintaining, you know, bad growth. First, of course, as you rightly said, is facing healthy RevPAR growth. But, you know, I think people often focus too much on RevPAR growth. We need to also focus on operating leverage. So if you look at our investor presentation, we have segregated same store from overall company, and that's important because for a high growth company like ours, acquisitions can always lead to good revenue and EBITDA growth. If you look at the same store, approximately 13-14% revenue growth led to about 19% EBITDA growth, and that's operating leverage, right? So therefore, we believe that we're not necessarily dependent on high teens revenue growth or RevPAR growth. All we need is the market to maintain, you know, as Karan said earlier, you know, early teens RevPAR growth, which should deliver a really healthy EBITDA growth. So that's one delta, right? The second big delta is, as I said, reduction in corporate G&A, right? So rather than doing that piece by piece, you're expecting about 4 to 5 percentage point improvement in EBITDA on the same revenue itself, right? So if you take a total revenue of about 1,000 crores, which is on a pro forma basis, you're almost getting 40 to 50 crore rupees added to the PAT because of the improvement in ESOP expenses and corporate G&A. And on top of that, if, you know, the market delivers us a 10% revenue growth, right, which is about, let's say, additional 100 crores of revenue growth, you will see a commensurate EBITDA growth coming from the business. So when you combine the market opportunity being delivered through RevPAR, operating performance through, you know, the flow-throughs or the EBITDA expansion, a definitive decrease in ESOP and corporate G&A, I think we remain fairly confident about delivering a very differentiated EBITDA PAT in FY25, you know.
Sure, got it. Thank you.
And I'm not even relying on, you know, a certain accounting gains that Rajat is sitting on, which Rajat can teach all of you about, actually, you know.
Yeah. So if you see in the quarter four results, there's an exception income of about 3 crores, which is actually a reversal of an impairment hit that we had taken. In 2020, when we actually entered COVID, there was a large hit of impairment expense that we booked in our books. And as we speak, we are actually sitting on about 660 crores of that impairment losses, which are booked, which includes the write-off that we took for the Navi Mumbai as well. Now, as we go along, when and auditors are looking at the performance of the hotel, for one of the hotels, they have reversed impairment. And as we go along during the year, you will see similar kind of reversal of impairment over this year as well as next year.
Okay, so would that be a significantly large number this year, or that again depends on how the auditors see it? Are the 660 crores?
I don't want to give a specific number to this, but, you know, and leaving aside what's the outcome of the Navi Mumbai, but I still feel there's going to be a decent amount of reversal that we can expect. Along with that, you know, we are also sitting on a huge amount of tax losses against which we never created a deferred tax asset. Now, as our companies are turning positive, and one of the companies actually turned positive last year, we are also expecting deferred tax assets to be created. And at this point of time, by March end, we are sitting on close to about 600 crores of such deferred tax assets which are not recognized in the books. And so those are also some kind of an accounting write-backs that you would see coming over this year, next year. So impairment reversal you can see during the year, but most likely the deferred tax creation of the assets will happen by the end of the year. But we are pretty confident that some bit of reversal will definitely hit both on the impairment reversal as well as creation of deferred tax.
Sure. Thank you. Very clear. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Next question is from the line of Murtuza Arsiwala from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi gentlemen. Just a question on the Caspia Pro Greater Noida, which is currently under renovation. So when we say it's under renovation, does it mean that it's in a complete shutdown mode or it's in a partial shutdown mode? How does it work? Or and how soon do we expect it to be back and up, you know, in terms of the new rebranded hotel?
Yeah, Murtaza, Greater Noida, Caspia Pro is in a full shutdown mode since February of this year, and this hotel will reopen in October.
Okay, thank you.
Alongside Calcutta and additional rooms in Bangalore, as I mentioned earlier.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone. Next question is from the line of Bhaskar Chaudhary from Ent Trust. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So a couple of questions on the pipeline. Could you tell us quarter-wise how many rooms are you adding for the next 2 years? And what is the capex that you will need to incur for the and how much have you already incurred?
So Bhaskar, we are adding about, okay, so there is Greater Noida, which is, go to the next slide. So for Greater Noida, we are having 137 rooms. These rooms were open till about January and then we shut them down for full renovation and rebranding. These 137 rooms, alongside 111 rooms in Calcutta and 54 rooms in Bangalore Whitefield, so 302 rooms. As it happens, they will all open in the quarter starting, in the quarter ending September, starting October. So that's the zip code. After that, we don't have any openings during the course of the year. Next year, right, we add apartments to our Hyatt Regency in Pune. We add about 22 apartments to that hotel. We are also then undertaking expansion of our hotel in Sri Perumbudur. Currently, we have 155 rooms. We expect to add about 86 rooms to that hotel. But Hyatt Regency Pune, we expect to add the apartments by same time next year. Sri Perumbudur, we have not started the work as yet, so we would not like to give a definitive opening date for that. This obviously excludes any new opportunities that we can identify. And as I stated in my opening remarks, we stay away from greenfield development, and anything we would look at as an opportunity will always be a quick capex to revenue cycle. So that we can't discuss today. As and when we find those opportunities and secure them, we can obviously discuss those as well.
Okay. So any quick capex that you're planning to do for these 3-4 additions and brownfield expansion?
Yeah, so for the three hotels that are about to open, we have actually incurred large part of the capital expenditure. So total capital expenditure, we have actually spent about 30 crores on the balance. That's for the entire thing. So only on these three hotels, about 70 crores was the total capital expenditure. 30 spent, 40 is what we'll spend in the next quarter.
Okay. 40 to be spent.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. Okay, thanks. I'll come back.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, would like to remind participants to press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Raghav Malik from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. I just wanted to dive into one of the earlier questions on RevPAR guidance. So you said high single digits to low double digits is what we can expect going ahead. Could you provide some sort of granularity on, you know, amongst our three segments, where would you probably see the higher end of the RevPAR, or would it be, you know, divided kind of fairly?
So Raghav, I'm sorry to bust the myth, but we don't think RevPARs move by segment. They actually move by cities, you know. And, you know, this has been a raging debate in our ecosystem. So if you look at cities, and in our investor presentation slide 17, you know, we have the city-wise RevPAR growth, where you can clearly see that you pick the large office aviation markets. They've all grown, you know, Hyderabad 22, Bangalore 12, Delhi 24, Pune 17, so on and so forth. And it's the other cities which are lagging at about 6% RevPAR growth, you know. So we continue to believe that the RevPAR growth story is very relevant to cities and markets. And within those markets, if that city is growing well, all segments will tend to benefit, right? We haven't really seen in the same micro market different segments behaving differently in terms of RevPAR growth. There are always differences numerically, but not really material to discuss. We believe that Hyderabad and Bangalore, right, are getting so much of new office supply. And if you look at the data that we've been able to collect for last year, Bangalore added 14 million square feet of new office space, Hyderabad 7.5 million square feet of new office space, right? And that's really ahead of, let's say, something like a Delhi, Mumbai, which is 5.2 million and 6.2 million respectively, right? So these two cities clearly, in our opinion, are leading the pack in terms of expansion of organized market, right? and we are direct benefactor of when the organized markets grow. So we believe Bangalore and Hyderabad are poised to continue to grow really strong. In terms of absolute RevPAR, we believe Hyderabad still can catch up to Bangalore and therefore can deliver higher growth in the next 2 years. But both these markets put together should deliver easily mid-teen RevPAR growth, you know. So I think for us, we believe that it's a very market-driven outcome. That's why we've always kept, listen, I have no surprises. I think 100 years back, Conrad Hilton said there's one thing important, three things important in hotel: location, location, and location, right? And we see that when you look at slide number 70, that big cities are driving RevPAR growth. So I think I remain very upbeat when I look at the growth of the office market. I remain very upbeat when I realize that the air passenger movement has crossed last peak of 68 million to get to 69 million passengers in the last reported quarter. Put these two things together and negligible supply. I think statistics clearly is showing a very strong RevPAR growth, and that's the basis of our guidance. You know, it's not a hope, it's not an expectation, it's just a statistical derivation from demand and supply.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you for that detailed answer. I had just one more question, if I can go ahead. So in the upper mid-scale assets that we have, which is a majority of our revenue, so it appears that occupancy out here is slightly lower than our average occupancy that we've seen. Just wanted to understand if that is because of the integration of the ACIC portfolio and addition of new rooms, or is it like a portfolio specific reason?
Just Raghav, clarifying, you're talking about upper mid-scale, right?
Yes, sir, upper mid-scale, slide 24, I think.
Yeah, so upper mid-scale includes, if you look at slide 24, that actually includes the ACIC portfolio. Also, if you look at the fact the upper mid-scale has a higher proportion of other cities, the Coimbatore, the Vizag, Goa, right? So upper mid-scale clearly saw a little bit of, relatively lower RevPAR growth compared to an upper upscale. As a combination of the fact that it has some portion of ACIC, it has some portion of hotels which have not been yet renovated and rebranded like Caspia and Delhi, and also the fact there are markets like Vizag, Coimbatore and Goa which have not performed as good as the larger markets. They're all doing well, to be clear, but not as strong as the bigger markets. If you look at, and just to clarify actually, the contribution of this segment to our total revenue is about 42%. About equal contribution comes from our upper upscale, upscale. That segment, Raghav, on an yearly basis delivered a 22% RevPAR growth, right? And I would like to take your attention to that. There's a lot of future strategy built into that. Why has our upper upscale delivered a 22% RevPAR when most other upper upscale portfolios have delivered 15-16% RevPAR growth? And the answer lies in the fact that our upper upscale upscale is concentrated in Hyderabad, Bangalore, and then of course sprinkling in Delhi and Ahmedabad. But majority is Hyderabad and Bangalore. So our upper upscale has delivered 22% RevPAR growth, but that's not the segment which is the hero. The fact is it is majority Hyderabad, Bangalore which are the heroes within there.
Okay, so again, city specific is the way to kind of look at this. Got it. Okay, thank you. I'll come back in. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Raghav.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Sunil Jain from Nirmal Bang Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity. Can you spell out how much is the ACIC revenue and EBITDA in the current year, and what is the scope for improvement in margin for the ACIC portfolio alone?
First the ACIC revenue contribution, if you want to go to the bridge. Just give us a second. Yeah. So if you look at total income, the contribution of ACIC is about 134 crores to total revenue. That's in the reported financials. And the impact in EBITDA is an addition of about 48.8 crores, of almost 49 crores. So that's the ACIC contribution to the overall portfolio in FY24. So that was your first question. I think your second question was with respect to the margins, right? So in H2 of FY24, which is period post-acquisition, ACIC has delivered a margin of 37.5%. This is what we call asset EBITDA, and this compares to about 42% asset EBITDA for non-ACIC hotels.
Yeah. So that much scope is there.
Yes. As I mentioned, Sunil, in quarter four, this portfolio already reached 39%, but full admission quarter four is a strong quarter. So I would not say that that's copy and paste for the rest of the year without incremental efforts. But absolutely, we think ACIC portfolio should deliver an asset-level EBITDA of 42% and above. And interestingly, as we integrate that completely, it will also have a snowball effect on our balanced Marriott-operated hotels because ACIC is all Marriott brands, right? So whatever was the operating expense in our pre-ACIC Marriott-operated hotels, eventually, they will also benefit in terms of some margin expansion because some of the cluster overheads that we have there would get amortized of over six additional hotels.
Yeah. True. Whether we need to do some CapEx or some expenses to make it full-fledged?
25 crores.
That will be over a period of what?
So we've already started that work. We believe over the next two quarters, we'll spend about 25 crores in the entire ACIC portfolio for it to be fully integrated. So there are really two steps to doing that, Sunil. The first was making sure these hotels so there were really three things to be done. Sorry. The first was the integration of the corporate office. The second was to ensure that these hotels have the sales and revenue support from Marriott. And third would be then transitioning into a full management contract under Marriott, right? So we've ticked the first two boxes, which is integration of the corporate infrastructure. That's why we took a hit of 4 crores in the last quarter in our corporate G&A, but it'll go back to what it used to be. These hotels are now being sold by Marriott sales and revenue cluster teams across cities starting February. So we will see some improvement in how they are priced. And the last bit, as they move towards the full management contract, is when you'll start really seeing the full benefits. So all that process is going to take another quarter to two, and during which we'll have to spend that money.
Okay. And second question is related to the city-wise market. This Bangalore, no doubt, a lot of office additions are there, but the industry, IT industry, is not adding any workforce over there. So are you seeing any impact of that or likely to see?
So Sunil, good news. India is a real economy and no longer a call center, right? And that reflects in Bangalore also. So if you see page number 21 of the investor presentation, you would realize that the contribution of IT, ITES to room sales has gone down from almost 15% to about 10%, right? So even in a city like Bangalore, we were used to see IT, ITES contribute about 28% to the total revenues, and that over the years has now come down to about 17%-18%, right? So yes, IT, ITES potentially is seeing some pressures, more global than local. But the fact is that Bangalore is a microcosm of India, which perhaps 20 years back started as a cheap labor cost arbitrage destination, but today is a real economy. So Bangalore also, over the last 20 years, has evolved into a large commercial center. A part of that is IT, ITES, but a large part of that today is, you know what, business as usual. Insurance companies, banking and finance, a lot of tech innovation startups, defense, pharma. So good news is that we are now getting our customers from many more segments than we used to get, let's say, five years back.
That is great. But this Chennai market is seeing extraordinary growth. So anything specific to industry or it's our property?
That's the problem with data, Sunil, that sometimes it misleads. Okay. So Chennai has two different clusters. One is the Chennai city, and the other is Sriperumbudur. So we have a hotel in Sriperumbudur, and given India's focus on Make in India, a lot of manufacturing shifting to India, I'm really pleased to report to you that the Sriperumbudur hotel actually saw 37% RevPAR growth. So it's not whole of Chennai. It is actually the Make in India, which is becoming successful, largely concentrated in an industrial park called Sriperumbudur. If you were to have asked me the same question a decade back, Sunil, I would have said I don't believe in industrial parks, right? I will always go to an office market. But I must admit that now several industrial parks across the country are seeing so much of build-up of production capacities and growth that they are becoming really attractive markets for hotels to invest in. So this is Sriperumbudur and not just Chennai, you know. I mean, this is for people who are looking to invest in Chennai, looking at their 31% RevPAR growth. You know, I want to be very transparent. It's Sriperumbudur and not all of Chennai.
And sir, last question about April and May. Are we seeing double-digit RevPAR growth year-on-year?
No, not in April and May because of the elections, but we are seeing good business and books coming back for 15 June and further on. We are growing on a year-on-year basis. That's good in spite of the elections and unprecedented heat wave that we are seeing in North India. We continue to see growth year-on-year basis, but I suspect it may not touch double digit across all hotels, you know.
Thank you very much for answering my question, sir.
Thank you, Sunil.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. Next question is from the line of Atul Daga from Daga Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Atul.
Yes. Sir, can you share the city-wise ROCs if that is possible so that, you know, we can exactly understand the return profile because that would be a right metric to look at.
Yeah, so Atul, fantastic question. Can I come back with this answer in the next 2 minutes if you have any other question? We have this data, but we need 2 minutes to dig it out, you know.
Okay, no, I will wait, that's fine.
Okay, so we'll take another question and then come back to Atul for a response on this.
Definitely, yes.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Dhairya Trivedi from DJT Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a wonderful set of numbers and thanks for taking my question. So can you please elaborate on what are the levers for margin improvement when the ACIC Marriott portfolio moves from franchise to managed?
Thank you. So interestingly, often people think that the cost levers are hidden in the cost lines of a P&L, but often those levers are hidden in the revenue line of a P&L, you know. In ACIC, what happens is when a hotel is operated under a franchise agreement, you know, it does not really have the same set of strong support from an operator as it would have in a management contract. And to replace that business, they often have to rely on you know, high cost customer acquisition channels like OTAs, you know. And by the way, OTAs are fantastic. They're a great business partner. But what's important to note is that that business comes at a certain cost. So in ACIC, what we were noticing was that the component of business coming from OTAs was disproportionately high, and it was subjected to a very high commission also. Two things have happened post our acquisition and this being integrated with the Marriott infrastructure. First, the commission itself has come down because of the scale that we have and the scale that Marriott has, honestly. And the second is the percentage of business coming from OTAs also materially coming down, you know. So because of that, we are seeing a direct boost to our margins because the customer acquisition cost has gone down. So that's part one. The part two is really how do you dissect the revenue? And if, you know, we can probably, you know, discuss this, you know, in a subsequent quarter. But when you look at the revenue, if I was to pick one quarter in ACIC, you would realize that the revenue growth is very muted, but the EBITDA growth is very healthy, right? And the reason for that is that we have decided to effectively shut some parts of business, which were contributing to revenue, but effectively were not accretive from an EBITDA perspective, right? So we're not just chasing a vanity revenue number, or we're not chasing, you know, money in the tail at the end of the day. We're actually chasing business and revenue, which is accretive to us at a profit level, right? So combination of changing the customer acquisition strategy, shutting down some parts of businesses, which were effectively, in our opinion, zero profit, has helped us move the EBITDA margin from 30% pre-acquisition to 37.5% post-acquisition, And as we said earlier, we are fairly confident this number will touch about 41-42% in the next few quarters, you know.
Understood, sir. Very clear. And sir, broadly, what would be the difference between a franchise arrangement versus a management contract?
So the big difference is that in a franchise agreement, the owner of the hotel is required to operate the hotel, including sales and marketing. Of course, you can sell your hotels through the brand.com, but you know, you don't get any active sales support from them. In a management agreement, the management of the day-to-day operations of the hotel are done by the operator, and under which they also provide you the full support of their national sales office and international sales office side. So that's really the big difference between the two.
Understood. And sir, is it fair to assume that we can do an incremental EBITDA of 70-odd crores from the ACICA portfolio as well as the 300-odd keys that we'll be adding in FY25?
Sorry, can you repeat? You think incremental EBITDA of 70 crores?
Incremental EBITDA of roughly 70-odd crores from the ACIC portfolio as well as the 300-odd keys that we'll be adding in FY25.
So 300-odd keys that we are adding, you know, they're all Holiday Inn Express hotels. And there our current EBITDA per key would be for Holiday Inn Express hotels.
Holiday Inn Express, around 4
lakhs. Around 4.5 lakhs per key. So that's really 500,000 rupees times 300 rooms. So that's really, that's the incremental EBITDA coming from those 300 rooms. ACIC did a total revenue of, for the year about 200 crores, right? The EBITDA from that reported in our P&L was about 48 crores. On a 200 crore revenue, we expect the margins to be about, with the good margins to be about a 90 crore EBITDA. So you will see about approximately 45 crore incremental EBITDA coming from ACIC. So I would think more about, without any revenue growth, right? Without any revenue growth, just the margin expansion in the opening of those 300 rooms, we believe that number is close to about 50 odd crores, you know.
Okay, is this adding both the ACIC as well as the Holiday Inn?
That's right.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
If you allow us, we'll answer Atul on his question on the ROCEs. Right. So Atul, overall SAMI's ROCEs are about 8%, excluding ACIC, 10 to 12%. Bangalore is leading the pack at about 20% ROCE, 20% plus actually, you know. Hyderabad is leading the pack, almost touching to about 20% ROCE, and the rest of the portfolio is circa around 10%, you know. The smaller markets like Vizag and Coimbatore would be like less than 10%, but thankfully their contribution is not very material to our business, right? So Hyderabad and Bangalore is way ahead of 20%, Hyderabad touching 20%. That's really the spread of losses by cities, you know.
Thank you, sir. We'll take our next question from the line of Bhaskar Chaudhary from Entrust. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. You know, you have mentioned earlier in the call that the corporate G&A would be a significant lever for increase in profitability. So any number target for the next 2 years on that line? It was about 45 crores in FY24.
Yeah, so FY24 was inordinately high because, as we said, we acquired the ACIC portfolio in August. We integrated the team. We got that completed in March. We took some one-time settlement expenses and all of that. In FY23, if you realize, our corporate overhead was about 29 crores. We are fairly confident that in FY25, we expect the next corporate expense, our corporate expense to go back to the FY23 level, which is about 29 crores. So about 15 crore savings from that.
Okay. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and 1 on your phone now. We have our next question from the line of Sumant Kumar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Ashish. My question regarding, you are talking about the city-wise, the office space addition. and Bangalore is on the top, and then Hyderabad and the other cities. I see the Mumbai is now at the bottom. You are trying to say that Mumbai ARR growth or RevPAR growth is likely to be lower compared to Bangalore because when we see the Bangalore ARR growth in the past was lower and Bangalore market is recovering. Can you talk about how the city-wise, a couple of cities versus Mumbai and New Delhi, ARR growth or RevPAR growth in next two to three years outlook?
No, no. Sumant, sorry. I apologize if I got misunderstood. We've never said that Mumbai is not a great market. We don't have a presence in Mumbai. Our view is that Bangalore, Hyderabad, Pune, Delhi, all the core markets we repeat, including Mumbai, are where bulk of economic activities will continue to happen. Don't forget, cities like Mumbai also get impacted because of a very large base. That city is already the commercial capital of India for the last, I don't know, about 50, 60 years. It continues to be a very important city for hotels as well. I believe all core markets and the definition of the core markets would continue to be Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore, Hyderabad, Pune, Chennai, Calcutta, right? We believe all core markets will benefit from India's growth story. There may be some seasonal variations, but other than that, I don't think I can pick one over other. We clearly like Bangalore and Hyderabad a lot better because the entry is cheaper, the base is lower, the opportunity for upside growth is much, much higher. That's really a very corporate internal company's view, but we like Mumbai as much, and that's why we've been fighting for Navi Mumbai, honestly. Otherwise, it was not worth the fight.
As per your PPT, Bangalore and Hyderabad is doing extremely good for you. Okay. Can you talk about this momentum is likely to continue, say, for compare with the industry also or the industry players? Do you think because of Bangalore has started recovering late compared to other markets, and there was an issue in the Bangalore market? Hyderabad was doing extremely good, but Bangalore is doing good currently. Do you think FY25, industry-wise also, other players, overall industry is going to do better in Bangalore market versus others?
No, no. I think we believe all core markets, including Bangalore, will deliver really good results for everybody in FY25, FY26. I see the supply is visible for at least next 3 years, if not longer. At least in that three-year supply horizon, we're not seeing any material threat because of new supply. On demand, Sumant, we have to just ask ourselves a question. Is there anything happening to Indian economy, India's growth story, political administrative reforms, interest from global investors? The answer to all of those things is we don't see anything negative. If we don't see anything negative on the demand side and we see very muted supply, as I said earlier, it's not my point of view or an opinion. It's a statistical inference that we're deriving from putting demand and supply together. Yes, everybody will benefit in core markets. Again, please, it does not mean others will not benefit in other markets, but I'm taking a larger, broader view of the next two, 3 years from a statistical perspective. Leisure markets are doing exceedingly well. They continue to do well. I think core markets provide a margin of safety that attracts us to them.
Okay. How is the current scenario post-election? How is the forward booking for June month?
Listen, in business hotels, the lead time to booking is not very long, but we are seeing very good business on books and pace for 15 June onwards and July. Even though April and May were slightly muted, and again, let me clarify, they still continue to grow over same period last year in spite of elections and the heat wave, but obviously they're not growing at 20%, right? We have started seeing good momentum in bookings starting 15 June and then, of course, July onwards.
What about expectation? And you have an industry ad because of election, the business is going to be impacted. That is below or above your expectation?
No, about the same, actually, if you ask me. About the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I think the heat wave in North, Sumant, was unprecedented, especially people who are in Delhi or Ahmedabad or Jaipur and these cities. I think the heat wave alongside elections kind of compounded some issues. But again, I'll reiterate before anyone of you start getting worried, we continue to see, in spite of all of that, growth in RevPARs on a year-on-year basis. And that says a lot about the strength of the industry, right? That it can absorb two big events and yet grow on a year-on-year basis.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you, Sunandi.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll take that as the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ashish Jakhanwal for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you so much for your time and your questions. They were all well placed. I will reiterate the fact that, you know, what our assets deliver in FY25, which is 1,000 crore top line and about, 360 odd crores of EBITDA, that makes us very excited about where SAMHI is headed in the near term. You know, we'll continue to engage with you and provide you what our views are on both the sector and our company, and look forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management team. On behalf of SAMHI Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.